Friday Sport.
Good evening. Well, many have been training for weeks, for months, to prepare themselves for the parish walk, which takes place this weekend. Many others will have done the bare minimum, but there's no time to dwell on it now, with the race starting at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. There's been a festival of football action at the Intergames tournament this week as well. We'll be discussing the Isle of Man's performances, which includes success, hopefully, for the women's team. Yes, we do say hopefully, because as it stands, the Isle of Man women's team are 2-1 up against Inismon in the Intergames tournament final being played in Inismon. They're facing the host nation. They are 2-1 up with around about 15 minutes to play. That's the last we heard. We will bring you the update as soon as we get it, but they could be moments away from claiming victory in the Intergames tournament, which would be a fantastic achievement. We'll be discussing that more later on, but we can't possibly start Friday Sport this evening with anything else. Right now, there are people from a range of different backgrounds, whether sporting or otherwise, preparing themselves for one final sleep before taking on that famed 85-mile course around the Isle of Man. It is, of course, Manx Telecom Parish Walk Weekend, and we've got the best coverage of the event right here on Manx Radio as we track not just those going all out to win the event overall, but also those who may be walking it to raise money for charity, have been dared to do it by a friend, or possibly just aiming to tick another thing off their bucket list. If you do have a message of support or encouragement for anybody taking part in the parish walk this year, then do get in touch throughout the weekend, including tonight in this programme. You can text us on 166 177, or you can email us by sending messages to studio@manxradio.com, and we'll do our best to read out as many of those messages as possible. And of course, this is the Isle of Man, so it is impossible for you not to know somebody taking part. And it is always great, from my point of view as well, seeing people who you maybe haven't seen in quite some time getting stuck in and putting in the hard yards, trying to keep their spirits high. And I've attempted the parish a couple of times myself. I say attempted. And I know that, and again, this isn't for everyone, but at this stage, you're possibly feeling a bit apprehensive, as well as feeling that buzz and that eagerness to get going. Well, there isn't long to wait now, I can tell you. Signing on is currently taking place at the NSC. Do not forget to do that if you haven't done so already. Well, anyway, to provide everyone with a bit more information and to give any first-timers a few tips to make the whole experience just that little bit easier, I've been speaking to Parish Walk Race Director Raymond Cox.
Well, we definitely have the front-runner of Richard Gerard, a previous winner last year. Up against him, Liam Parker, obviously a winner 2 years ago. So very much the form people towing the line on Saturday.
Richard Gerard has won the parish walk in 5 of the last 7 years. So he really is the man to beat.
Richard is a classic parish walker, came to the parish walk, not an athlete, no history in athletics. Walked, I think, to Rushen the first year he participated. All of a sudden got the bug, started to train, took advice, and has discovered that he is a real natural talent for stamina events. And I think also he's very mentally strong, and I think that's his big, big weapon. You know, he's experienced, he knows how it goes, he's tremendous at pacing. Every year he will hit the churches 1 to 2 minutes off his standard time. So I know early on in the day when he's going to finish, and whether a record's on the course or whatever. He's a very consistent walker.
One thing that you see on social media or just talking to people, whether this is the first time they're doing the event or whether they've done it 5, 10 times, it's a mixture of excitement and nerves as the event looms large. That doesn't change. It's just a great community event, isn't it? Why do you think it does capture the hearts and minds of the Manx public?
Well, I think it's a unique event. There is nothing like it really anywhere in the world. There are endurance events, many of them, but I think the parish walk, with its route around each parish church of the island, it's a very Manx event. It's got history. Obviously ancient history and recent history. And I think the fact that the island embraces it. It's the one day of the year that perhaps the roads are taken back from motor vehicles, and that people can walk the countryside of the Isle of Man, which of course is fabulous. It's a beautiful place. Anybody who comes to visit, always captivated by the Isle of Man.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the roads there, because I think that is one thing you are keen to stress. And just to urge people to use a bit of common sense, there are going to be some road closures. So let's deal with that first off. If you could inform us which roads and when they will be closed.
Right, well, we start off at 8:20 in the morning. The main A1 between Union Mills and Moran Church, as far as Crosby, will be closed completely. So that's just till 9:30, as soon as we can get the body of the race off onto the Glendarroch Road. That will be one way. And then coming along onto the Braid, Clanna Road will be closed completely, again between 9 and approximately 10:30. Then we have one-way stretch all along the Oatlands Road, the Old Castletown Road. The Arsdale Road will be closed. Then we have a one-way stretch between Cross Four Ways into Ballabeg. This year we have a parking suspension in Ballabeg to try to create a free passageway for the cars and the walkers through Ballabeg Village. And I am grateful to the residents of Ballabeg and Glenmay, where there is another parking suspension, that they are going to take their cars off the road for a couple of hours while the parish walk is going through their villages. Big one-way system then between Ballacalawi Roundabout and the Round Table, and then dropping down to Dalby, that will all be one-way also. Then on the west coast, we have one-way system from Switchback into Kirkmichael, and that will be in the afternoon between 1:30 and 6:30. Another one-way system from Balaff Church up to the Cronk, that will be between 3 p.m. and 8 p.m. And then the final sort of stretch of one-way will be between Jerby and Bride Church, and that will be between 5 o'clock and 10:50 in the evening. We do have a one-way between Dadoon and Laxey, just to provide a bit of safety on the east coast for those dark hours that the walkers will be coming down. So there's a one-way system there. I do want to draw the public's attention to the 30 mile an hour zone that we have, and it's a 30 mile an hour zone on the road between Sulby Bridge and Ramsey, and then between the Hibernia and Laxey. So we're asking motorists to be careful, be aware, slow down. There's going to be a lot of people out on the road, particularly in the nighttime hours.
We will be doing our best to keep you informed of all the road closures, road openings, and of course our coverage of the parish walk across both Saturday and Sunday. You mentioned it there again, just a bit of common sense, a bit of courtesy towards those who are doing the parish walk. More than 1,600 have signed up for the event. Now, not all roads will be closed around the parish walk course, but it is, of course, paramount concern, the safety of the competitors. And I think that is a message you're wanting to deliver to anybody listening who is out and about over the weekend, to just exercise a bit of caution when out on the roads.
For sure. I think as the organisers of the event, our biggest concern is the safety of the walkers, followed by the safety of the support people. So, you know, looking for everybody to do things sensibly. So I would urge all the competitors, all the supporters, all the spectators to think about where they're going, where they're parking, etc., etc. And I'm urging everybody to be courteous to the other road users. Lots of people are not involved in the parish walk. They've got to get around on their daily work, perhaps get to the airport, get to the hospital. They've got other pressures. So if everybody could, as you say, be courteous, use your common sense, I think we'll all have a very successful day on Saturday.
One of the biggest landmarks, I suppose, around the course is at Peel. Many people decide to finish there. The under-21s have to finish there. They can't go any further. It's always the fanfare, that walk, as you if you are finishing in Peel, to check in there and just to look around you and appreciate that there are so many people out there. If it's great weather, that's even better. Are there any extra additional events in Peel this year?
Well, we have the road is obviously closed, so it's very much people could come out onto the road and clap the walkers into the town hall, which is the check-in in Peel. We'll have some bands, we'll have some music, we've got ice cream, we've got your good selves, Manx Radio will be there, outside broadcast makes the thing very lively. So it's going to be a real good afternoon, and if the sun shines, it's a beautiful place to be. So we're looking for a lot of colour, a lot of excitement on Saturday afternoon.
I always ask experienced walkers and experienced people who are involved in the parish walk just to offer a little bit of advice for those who may be doing the event for the first time?
I think the first thing is take it easy at the start. You did mention earlier that it's a very exciting day. You approach the day with apprehension, excitement, so do not go off too quickly. And I think mentally you need to just slow down at the start. Fortunately, because of the crowds of people going along on the very narrow access road, TT access road, it's very hard to walk fast. So that's actually a good thing, because once you get into your stride, 4 or 5 miles into the race, then you can start to stretch out a little bit and get into your rhythm. But take it easy at the start. Drink plenty and drink early. Don't wait till you're thirsty, particularly if it's a sunny day. We've got lots of very good feed stations all along, so that's the other bit of good advice. And then with respect to Lucky Charms, I think Vaseline is probably your best Lucky Charm.
And I've looked at the forecast, could be up to 17 degrees on Saturday, so make sure you have plenty of fluids and also apply some sun cream as well. Raymond Cox, thank you very much, and look forward to yet another successful Parish Walk weekend.
Indeed, thank you.
That was Raymond Cox there, the race director of the Parish Walk, obviously taking place this weekend, an 8 o'clock start tomorrow morning. Andy has been in touch. He says, please, RE Parish Walk tips, use new trainers or not? Well, unfortunately, I'm not really qualified to provide you with any really advice in that regard, Andy, but I can tell you I've been told by others that it probably isn't a good idea to wear brand new trainers for the Parish Walk. You need to break them in your training. Unfortunately, I didn't do too much, so mine were pretty much brand new when I went to Peel the first time I did it. So I hope if that offers you any reasonable advice there, then you can take that and use it to your best advantage. We've also had a message in. Good luck to the ginger Usain Bolt from Stevie and the boys. Wrong sport, I think, but I get the sentiment. The ginger Usain Bolt, whoever you are, best of luck in the Parish Walk. Well, as I say, signing on is currently taking place at the NSC in Douglas, where entrants can pick up some essential items such as your race numbers. You can pick up your starter pack and a race programme as well. One of your race numbers will have a barcode on it as well, I think, and it's worth pointing out that the barcode is supposed to go on your front. It's there so when you get pat, when you have your photo taken at various points throughout your journey through the island's 17 parishes, then it means you won't have endless pictures of the back of your head popping up on Facebook. Well, as we touched upon before, the Parish Walk is not all about the winners and the battle at the top, but it's more of a community event which brings out why the Manx public are so great. Hundreds line the route offering out food, drinks, snacks, general refreshments. They'll cheer you on and support you all the way round. And there are a multitude of reasons that people decide on taking part in this event. Many take part in this incredibly grueling physical and mental challenge to raise money for charity. A couple who are drumming up funds for Cancer Research UK this year are Chloe Gale and Lee Corlett. It'll be Chloe's second parish walk and Lee's fifth, so they're no strangers to the scale of the task ahead of them. They're both determined to cross the 85-mile finish line, and they've personal reasons why they have chosen Cancer Research UK too. Chloe's nan and both her daughters have suffered from cancer, and it's a cause close to her heart. Both her and Lee told their parish walk story to Rhiann Evans.
Both of us have been affected. I think obviously Lee and his wife, you know, their families have been affected, and like myself, my daughter had cancer and she was diagnosed at one, and my nana's currently battling cancer as well. So I think it's just something really close to us, and we just wish we could just give something back to help the research continue.
Would you say your determination and your commitment to completing the whole of the parish walk is primarily for the cause and the meaning behind doing it, or more for the physical challenge of doing it?
I think for me it's a bit of both. I'm super competitive, and to be able to say I've completed the parish walk would be amazing, and I think that'll be something ticked off, and I'll leave that at bay for a few years probably before I try again. But also raising funds for cancer research, and you know, so many people are affected, and this is, you know, a day of 24 hours, and you know, we're putting our bodies on the line, we're going to be in like huge amounts of pain, you go through loads of highs, loads of lows, and like obviously it's not comparable to how people go through, but you know, if the pain and everything that we go through and can raise money to help research for people that are going through such a horrible, horrible thing, to make anything better for them would be amazing.
Yeah, and this is the first time that I've done for charity as well. For me, it's 15 years since I lost my father to cancer, so I think we both have real reasons that we want to try and raise money for this charity specifically, and they're going to be huge motivators, I think, going into this event as well.
Whilst my daughter was still going through chemo, and it was actually 2 weeks after I had my youngest daughter, we had signed up to do the Relay for Life. Again, it was just kind of something, I think, just to kind of help us get through. And again, it's another massive event that's like amazing on the island. Everyone gets involved. And we managed to raise, I think it was over £2,000. And that again, obviously goes towards cancer research.
Will your daughters be there cheering you on?
I think at some point, yeah. I think they'll get dragged out to come say hi, but unfortunately it's one of those, if you've got to keep up with the time and you can't really have time to stop. So I'm hoping maybe they'll be down at the finish line, fingers crossed.
Brilliant. Good luck to both Chloe Gale and to Lee Corlett as well. We've had some other messages in as well. Please say good luck to Janice Christian in the parish walk tomorrow from all the girls in the kitchen at QE2. Good luck to you, Janice, wherever you're planning on getting to. Okay, the flip-flops it is then. I think that's from Andy, who wanted to ask about whether he should wear new shoes for the parish walk tomorrow. And also John has been in touch, a past finisher, and saying it's such a shame that they've spoilt the parish by banning earphones. I think that's because, John, when you're walking along, especially if you're on the roads as well, it could be quite dangerous if you're near traffic. But I assume that is why the reason they have taken or used to ban the earphones. We've also got one on here. Best of luck to John and Dewan. Numbers 6, 3, 4 and 25. I think that's why those numbers are in here. One of them is expected to finish. One is hoping to make it out of the NSC unscathed. You can do it, lads. So, yes, good luck to you. Once again, best of luck to everybody taking part. Whether you have a personal target of getting to Arbury, Russian, Patrick or Peel, whether you want to finish it, whatever your goal, I wish you all the very best in achieving it. I will be in Peel, and I promise I'm a lot nicer than I look. So come and say hi and let me know your 2019 Manx Telecom Parish Walk story tomorrow. Coverage throughout the day, right from the very outset at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, will be brought to you right here on Manx Radio. But it's football time, and we have some breaking news to bring you regarding the Isle of Man senior women's team.
Friday Sport.
At the top of the programme, we said they were moments away from glory in the Intergames tournament, and they have seen that game through to the end. 2-1 winners they are against host nation Inismon in the final. Tony Meppam joins us on the line live. And Tony, what a fantastic achievement this is for women's football and indeed for the Isle of Man.
Very much so, because the girls have worked hard on it. They've been disciplined right the way through the whole tournament. They knew there was a job on hand for them, and they've done it. So congratulations to them all. 2-1 winners today. Sarah Wignall got the first. Not too sure who got the second goal, but I'm pretty certain that a dry week for the girls will certainly turn into something different tonight, because they deserve every sort of can of beer that they're going to drink. They've worked hard for it, and they finally got that gold medal around their necks.
It was Eleanor Gorn with a spot kick for the Isle of Man's second goal to give them a 2-0 lead at the halfway stage in that one. They've seen it through to the end. Speaking to Kim Hicklin, the captain, earlier this week, Tony, she was desperate to win. She said that her time playing for the Isle of Man was coming to an end and she'd love to go out on a high. Well, she's certainly done that if this is to be her final appearance in an Isle of Man shirt.
Well, yeah, I think the problem is with Kim, she's not particularly old, but she's a mum. And like, just like Eleanor Gorn and a couple of other players, they've had to sacrifice being with their daughters or sons for a good week. And it's been worth it in the end. And I'm pretty certain that Kim will continue. She's a massive influence to all the younger players. She's a great leader, you know, captain off the pitch and on the pitch. And what a funny woman as well. She's got some sense of humour on her, comes up with all the jokes, and it just takes the pressure off some of the players who sometimes the occasions can get to them. And certainly today, with Sarah O'Reilly getting injured in the first 15 minutes and had to go off, they pushed Jay Burden at centre-back. I think it was alongside Kim. And it just gelled together really well. And a big shout-out as well for Brian Cowan, because he's only been in post for, what, just over a year? And he's done really well to get this gold medal. And let's just hope that when the girls get back, that we can build on this success, because it's very, very difficult in women's football, Chris, that there's not too many competitions for them. But I think with England doing well in the World Cup, the Isle of Man doing well here, I think it's a great opportunity for us to try and push women's football forward. But I think the English FA, Chris, have got a big part to play in it as well, because they need to, I think, reduce the age to 15. And I think 16 years of age, that 15 to 16, we're losing too many players because there's no real competitive football for them. So a bit of work to do, but let's let the girls enjoy the night. And I'm pretty certain when they head back tomorrow, they're coming back a little bit earlier now, that they'll take on board exactly what has happened to them as women players for the national team.
Well, who knows? Maybe their success here in Innismon will inspire a new generation of players. Let's move on to the men. Rhys Oates scored a hat-trick earlier today in a 5-0 thrashing of Shetland for the Isle of Man to finish their tournament on a high. That follows disappointment yesterday in the semi-final, where they lost to Guernsey by 3-2. A late goal, 5 minutes from time, giving Guernsey the victory. How do you assess how well the men have done then in Innismon this week, Tony?
Well, I've got to be honest. The men went out with gold on their mind and spoke to powers-to-be who were at the game last night. And just that first 45 minutes, they just failed to play football, to sort of connect together. It just didn't happen. And it's very, very unusual for a side that Paul Jones has managed. Changed it round at half-time. Rhys Oates has been struggling with an injury all week. I think he picked it up at Connors Quay last Saturday. And he just hasn't been there. And he's the player of the year. So you need your best players to play. And unfortunately for him, he hasn't been able to. But he came on at the start of the second half. He scored, from what I'm hearing. And then the Island got the second one through Dan Simpson to make it 2-2. But it's like anything. When you're going for the game and you're in the motion, you could leave some gaps at the back. And that's what happened. And Guernsey punished them. And Guernsey finished up 3-2 winners and into the final. So it's a big, big shame for them. I'm sure Paul Jones is deeply upset about it. I know the players are. But at least they've got something back today by winning the bronze medal, because I saw it in Shetland where they were going for medal and they just sort of collapsed because the gold and silver wasn't there in front of them. So well done to them. And, you know, the boys deserve some praise. Guernsey are a good side, and unfortunately they weren't strong enough yesterday.
Do you think, though, bearing in mind that there was a lot of preparation from Paul Jones and his squad in the build-up to this tournament, that, yes, they will be thoroughly disappointed at losing at the semi-final stage, but how do they bounce back from this and respond in a way which would please Paul Jones? He said it wasn't the be-all and end-all ahead of this tournament winning gold in Innismon. He said it was all part of a longer-term plan, but this will still be a bit of a setback for them because, as you say, they headed there with a gold medal on their minds.
Well, he did, and you just don't know what you're going to face, but I think what's really important for them is to get back into playing again, and that's going to come very, very quickly, because he's got a couple of fixtures arranged, teams coming over to the Isle of Man. I don't want to say who they are at the moment, because I think the contracts aren't quite signed yet, but then you've got the start of the Interleague, which is the one Paul's after, and that game has to be played against the Cheshire League, and it's on home soil, Chris. Has to be played before the third week of September. So it's a great opportunity. That's going to be a tough game as well. But it just gives a chance of a very, very young side to play together again and hopefully connect as good as the previous sides have been, because there was bags of experience in other Ireland sides. This one, a lot of good young players. And actually, those good young players have shone through and shown that they're ready to step up. So I think it's really good times for Paul Jones, Lee Dixon and Steve Burns to deal with.
Well, Tony Meppham, thank you very much. It is a shame that they will not be in the final, but they have secured third place. Risoat's hat-trick ensured that the Isle of Man senior men's team do end their intergames tournament in emphatic style of 5-0 thrashing of Shetland. There was also an own goal and a Dan Simpson effort the Manx scored 4 second half goals in 7 minutes. So the result provides that perfect response to defeat to Guernsey yesterday. But the big news is for the Isle of Man women's team, who are winners. They won the gold medal match against host nation Innis Mon. That's after losing to Gotland in the Island Games 2 years ago at the final stage. But they've gone one better this time around. Sarah Wignall and Eleanor Gorn with the goals there. They did concede with 20 minutes to play, but they did see the result through. 2-1 winners. They have won gold. So congratulations to everybody who's part of that team in Innis Mon. A superb end to a superb week for the ladies. That's about it from Friday's Sport Preview this evening. Just a reminder, we are having full coverage of the Manx Telecom Parish Walk. It starts at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning from the NSC in Douglas. The very best of luck to all taking part. The news at 6 is next.